precious presence. Wow. I created this message through a couple posts that I saw out the last couple months, which kind of feeded me into what I want to share today. And the first one was a post that Paige had shared. And Agape shared it as well. And how often do we walk out of a powerful sermon in tears? Is it backfeeding? Can we fix the backfeed, Dave? Test, test. That'll drive me crazy. Yeah. Test, test. How about I go out? How about I go down here? Okay. How often do we walk out of a powerful sermon in tears? Is that better? Okay, perfect. Deeply moved, deeply convicted, yet return to the same habits and the same choices and the same patterns that keep us stuck. The truth is, emotions isn't evidence of transformation. Obedience is. And tears can mark the beginning of change, but if they don't lead to action, they become a little more than a fleeting moment. God's word was never meant to just stir in your heart. It's meant to shape our lives. If we're inspired on Sunday, but unchanged on Monday, something's missing. And conviction without correction leads to spiritual stagnation. And transformation happens when we look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues it. Not forgetting they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. In James 1:25. And Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus has come to bring me life. Those two scriptures were scriptures that I meditated on for a very long time. It was almost like a breakthrough. It actually was a breakthrough 28 years ago when I came to the Lord, not knowing I was coming to the Lord. I had no clue. I had no clue what my heart desired. All I knew that I wanted to get out of a mess that I was in, and I wanted change. I wanted newness. I wanted something different because I knew I wasn't happy in the situation I was in. But 28 years ago, a transformation started to take place. And a newness was coming into my heart, and my mind was being renewed day by day because of that meditation on those words. I didn't realize that I was going to follow Jesus, and I just knew that I was crying for help. And I had made a choice to trust in the process. I really like the Mirror Translation, and unfortunately, the Mirror Translation isn't in the Old Testament. So I asked ChatGPT to create one for me. So this is a mirror-style paraphrase of Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think about you, says the I Am. Thoughts saturated with peace, wholeness, and well-being. Not one of them carries harm or fear. My intention is to unveil your future in hope, your life echoing the blueprint of your original decision, and you're not forgotten. You're fully known, fully cherished, and eternally included in my purpose. I thought, that's pretty good. So my point is, don't settle for being moved. Be transformed. And allow God to work in your life. Don't just listen to the truth, but live it. That's what real worship is. And that's what growth looks like. And that's what it means to walk with God. And aren't we thankful that we have a safe place here like Agape to do that in? a place to heal and to grow and to learn, and a safe place to let our guard down. For 45 years, Agape has been touching lives and helping people draw closer to God so that He can change the hearts of His people. No judgment, no condemnation, just love, just agape love. And I find it a blessing and an honor to stand in this place and share with you today what God has poured into my heart. For God knows as well as many of you know, I'm not perfect. Ask my husband. I have my flaws, and I'm a work in progress, and I need God's hand in my life every moment of every day, just like you do. So God, I just pray for you to give me the words to speak, Lord. Help these words to just bring a healing anointing into these people, in Jesus' name. My next post I wanted to share was from Tom. It kind of spoke to me. He was talking about breaking the thorns that hold you back. And I love the analogy behind it. And, you know, whether you're talking about anxiety or overthinking or fear or shame or insecurity, isolation, what kind of silent battles have you been carrying? Unforgiveness, overthinking, anxiety. God never called you to stay stuck in those thorns. Staying stuck in those thorns serves no purpose in your life. Or maybe it is serving a purpose. To keep us pushed down and defeated. To hold us in darkness and to keep us in a place of hiding. Let's be honest, we all have them. And we didn't. If we didn't, we didn't. We won't need Jesus. That's why we need Him so much. And every day there's a battle that goes on. So Pastor Chris reminded us last week about 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And I got to thinking about strongholds and how they hold us back from what God has for us. To understand what a stronghold is really important, because those are the things that do put a block between us and the purpose that God has for us. Whether they're habits, the structure of thought, misconceptions or reactions or choices, ungodly thoughts and patterns, arguments, theories, reasonings or pride, anything that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So one of my favorite Bible stories is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. I'm going to kind of paraphrase that a little bit and share a little bit of what I received from this story. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king back in that day, and he decided that he was going to build these golden statues and command everybody to bow to them. And the golden statues, anything we idolize, it wasn't just a piece of metal out there. It was something bigger. It was things we idolized, success, popularity. I don't know why I'm crying, but obviously this speaks to me. So anyway, that's all right. Just deal with it. Well, you know, we have the permission to be transparent around here, don't we? Anyway, those golden statues, anything we idolize, whether it's success or popularity, money, strongholds, back again to fear, shame, insecurities, isolation. And the king orders all these big dogs to come in, and these judges and these officers to come in and dedicate this idol. And when the music starts to play, it's ordered that everybody's supposed to fall down and worship this idol. And anybody who doesn't worship the idol is going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. In comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were good friends with Daniel. And I was kind of curious to know if Daniel went into the lion's den before or after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel went in after. And I was like, I wonder if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's experience helped Daniel when he was in the lion's den. So I don't know what's worse, a lion's den or a fiery furnace. They both sound real bad, but I bet that their friendship really grew after that. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love to say that too, by the way. They refuse to worship anything but God. And they're not going to idolize anything that was not of God. Faith requires us standing whenever we're asked to bow. When everybody else is bowing, it takes faith to not go with the crowd. So, are you bowing to the strongholds in your own life? Are you bowing to those, the fear and the shame and the insecurities that you carry? The three men knew that there were consequences to not bowing, and it was death by fire, but they chose obedience. I titled my message, "There's Healing in the Fire." God calls those things that are not of Him to die. Those things that are not serving a godly purpose in our life, and I believe that God helps us release those things that are not of Him. We don't have to do it alone, and we have Him to help us along the way, because He's with us in that fiery furnace. He's with us always. It says in Daniel 3:17 through 18, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the fiery furnace of blazing fire, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." But even if He doesn't deliver me, even if He doesn't deliver you, are you going to continue to stand and not turn your back on God in His ways of doing and being right? The king got angry, and he even tried turning up the heat before he threw him into the fire. You know, the enemy doesn't like it when we turn to God. The enemy does turn up the heat because he knows that God's got something really good in store. And he's going to do everything in his power to turn you away from God and His purpose and plan for your life. So the fire was so hot that it killed the ones who threw the three men into the furnace. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. So they still had some issues to deal with as they're jumping into that fire, didn't they? They're like, okay, we're jumping in, but I'm still a hot mess. You know, the strongholds, they hold us into bondage. They keep us tied down. They cause a lot of weight. The true faith isn't just believing God can save us. It's trusting Him even when He doesn't. You know, sometimes we can go through a fire, and we're still going to come out on the other side and still have a few issues. Because we're all a work in progress, right? Sometimes we've got to jump right back in that fire, don't we? In verse 24, the king sees what's going on in the fiery furnace, and he says, "Look, I see four men untied walking around in the midst of fire, and they're not even hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God's." He called them to come out, and he noticed and acknowledged that one, the fire didn't even affect their bodies. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't burned. They had no damage. They didn't even come out smelling like smoke. You know, God doesn't always prevent fire. but he always walks with us through it. And I believe that there is healing in the fire. I believe that integrity is built in the fire, that faith is strengthened when you're in the fire, that spiritual growth occurs when we're in the fire, that your relationship with God is sharpened like a two-edged sword in the fire. And God is with you in the fire, and your faith can be a testimony to the world around you. Nebuchadnezzar, he praises their God, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants who believed in, trusted in, and relied on him. For there is no other God who is able to save in this way." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand influenced an entire kingdom. And your faith can impact more than just your life. It can change others too. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, in the Mirror translation, although we are living in a physical world, we do not engage ourselves in combat according to the typical human strategies of manipulation and aggression. The dynamic of our spiritual weaponry is empowered by the source of God's might, not man. These weapons are designed to dismantle every deceptive argument and arrogant attitude that opposes the knowledge of God. And we arrest every thought at spear point, every perception and every emotion, and insist that it bows in obedience to the authority of Christ. We don't need to do things the way the world does. I see the heart of God telling his kids, look, you live in this world, but you don't do things the way the world does, because if you do, you may not win. You think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have won if they didn't go into that fiery furnace? They had the faith, no matter what happened, what the outcome was going to be, that they would be okay because they trusted that God was with them. Whenever you're accounted with a situation, God's always with you. And he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. And if you could just take a moment and stand as I come to a close on this message. I actually went through this a lot faster than I thought. Growth doesn't happen when life is easy. It happens when we press into Christ in the middle of our mess. You are not your past. You are not what broke you. You are not too far gone. Let God use what was meant to wound you to water your soul. He's not finished, and you're still blooming. Root your identity in truth and let grace pull down.